wonderful. Thanks.
State officials should investigate how illegal and defunded state agencies continue to operate. That's a press release I received. Tell me about this.
Sure. There's this entity called the Michigan Quality Community Care Council. It was created basically to allow for unionization of the 45,000 home health workers. It is helping a government employees union, in this case the SEIU, collect about $6 million a year, and it was defunded by the legislature as effective as of October 1st, and yet it is still operating and is still receiving dues money from these people who really are independent contractors and not public employees.
Well, how'd that happen?
What a great question. as you remember, probably we were involved with the daycare situation,
yep,
which is very similar. And this was created through the same manner. I would tell you, you can't expand the definition of public employee except through the legislature. Governor Granholm at the time would have told people differently because she did it through two interlocal agreements. This time it was Department of Community Health and something called the Tri-County Commission on the Aging,
mm-hmm,
and created this entity. And this thing has gone on for a couple of years now. We were hoping that when we won the daycare case that it would lead to the end of this. But as you know, the daycare case did not get ended in the courts. What happened is Governor Snyder pulled out of the interlocal agreement, which ended the process of taking dues out there. We were hopeful that the defunding here, or potentially some legislation that's worked its way from the Senate, from the House over to the Senate, would end the process here. But apparently, that hasn't been the case.
So, if I recall correctly, with the daycare, those folks were forced. They had no other. They had to give funding to this entity, correct? And it was taken out of taxes, or how did they do that?
Took it out of their clients would be receiving subsidies. So it was a welfare to work program. Mm-hmm. The parents would be going to either school or getting subsidies to have daycare so that they could get a job and try and work their way up. And so what would happen is that those parents would get a subsidy. The subsidy was just paid straight to the daycare providers, and the state would take a cut out of that before it even got to the providers.
Now,
so that's what's happening here.
There
is these basically developmentally disabled adults that are receiving care from these home health providers. The state, through a couple of programs, pays for some of that, and dues money is taken out of the payments before it ever reaches the home health providers.
Why would the state become involved in creating and supporting unions?
Well, the question of when and if to have public sector unionism is one that kind of goes the full gamut. In some states, there isn't any at all. There is in North Carolina and Virginia, they're outlawed. In Michigan, they were outlawed up until 1965. The 1963 Constitution allowed the legislature to create public sector unions if it wanted. In 1965, it did. It created something called the Public Employment Relations Act. This allows things like school teachers to unionize, sheriffs, people like that, firefighters. However, that wasn't supposed to lead to the unionization of private businesses or independent contractors, which I would tell you both the daycare providers and here the home health providers are. So in order to expand that definition further, there probably needed to have been a legislative change. There was no way that Governor Granholm was going to get the legislative change past the Senate, so she just did this through interlocal agreements. So that's what the basis of this was for. This is a national phenomenon that the public sector unions have been trying to bump up their membership and dues monies with. It started in about 2004, 2005. And has been going on in a number of states.
And you're calling on legislators, the Attorney General, and the governor to investigate this. Have you had any feedback?
We just yesterday finally got an answer from the Department of Community Health after asking them for 5 days whether or not they were continuing to take out dues. So we have brought this to attention of a number of people. We're hoping that our news release will go do something, but I have not received any formal response that, you know, we are opening an investigation or looking into it yet.
What will be your next course of action?
Well, we're going to see what the sunlight does here. If it does truly disinfect, and if not, then I do run a legal foundation, and there are certainly options in that arena.
Patrick, there are those who think if you look at Barack Obama and many of the policies that he supports or that he creates, that what the underlying events that occur from that beyond what they do is they support a voter base for them. Do you think that that was being done in this instance too?
Well, I mean, there is no doubt that, as a general rule of thumb, the unions and public employee unions tend towards the Democratic Party. So that is not something that is probably outside the realm of possibility. However, you know, the unions themselves want to have, you know, there's officials there. They have certain goals, perhaps, that they feel that they might want to do, and money and people in power are certainly things that can help. You know, this is 45,000 members that they have on the mailing list that they can claim that they're doing things for, and they get $6 million a year in dues money. They can tell candidates, you need to do X, Y, or Z. If you don't, we'll run people against you. So there is some political power, obviously, going on here.
All right, and Patrick, for people who want more information about this, where can they go?
Well, we have an article up on Capital Confidential that puts all the emails up. You can click on and read the individual emails and see who's been doing what and why. One of the interesting things here was that Senator Roger Kahn, a Republican, definitely seemed to be one of the people most interested in keeping this going, and actually came up with a rather sneaky way of suggesting taking money out of the payments that these providers would receive so that it could be stuck back in the budget and this entity could keep on going. But those emails are available at our website and on capitalconfidential.com.
Well, that seems like a kind of sneaky behavior, doesn't it?
That wasn't the only thing that was suggested. There was another one where there was a suggestion to take the money necessary to fund it and to hide it in a line item in the budget where nobody would find it, to maybe take it and put it into a different budget. There was all kinds of suggestions going around to keep this thing funding, and I'm really quite not sure why. I mean, this is a very small agency that doesn't do anything that the Department of Community Health, the state agency, can't do itself. So you have to question why it is so important that this agency survives. The cynic's answer is so that the cash cow could keep getting milked.
Oh, you got to read between the lines and read the fine print, don't you?
Yep, sometimes you do.
And Patrick Wright is the director of the Mackinac Center Legal Foundation. Thanks so much, sir.
Thanks, Tony.